All right, welcome to Radio Naturopath, the call and talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. My co-host, Ron Meniza, is here with me today. And if you'd like to participate in the conversation about natural medicine, you can call us at 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcasts at whus.org. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch ND. My special guests today are Joe Sereno and John Norton. Joe Sereno has been involved in motorcycles, bicycles, and mechanical repair and fabrication for close to 25 years. He enjoys working with his hands, dancing, being in the woods, music, animals, and being a steward of the earth. He also loves karaoke, writing, and ranting about mainstream disconnected societal issues. He is from Lebanon and Bolton, Connecticut. He has a podcast called Go Health Yourself with his friend John Norton, who is also here today, and they enjoy talking about mental health awareness, paying it forward, being vulnerable, eating as respect to the self, and navigating the winding road of daily life. Joe hopes sharing his story can help others relate to their own journey and likes talking about ideas, principles, and topics greater than himself. John Norton is 33 years old. He's Joe's friend, and together they host the podcast Go Health Yourself. He grew up in Coventry, Connecticut, where he played a lot of different sports, including soccer and track. After high school, he attended an automotive trade school, and from there he moved to Florida, where he built sailboats. In 2010, he sustained a spinal cord injury by falling out of a tree. He moved back to Connecticut and had terrific support from family and friends. After the injury, he's been working on rebuilding his life and has made big changes in his mental and physical health. It is my great pleasure to welcome Joe and John to Radio Naturopath today. Welcome, guys.
Hey, thank you, Fran. Thanks for having us. I appreciate the invite.
It's a thrill. Yeah. Oh, my thank goodness. You. So yeah. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And so I'd love for you to just get going. You have a couple things going on. You have you, John, who had this incredible event in your life, extremely life-changing. You were an extremely healthy, fit person, and then you had a spinal cord injury, and now you are moving through that and surviving and thriving, I hope.
It's been 8 years since the injury. Like you said, it was 2010. Mm-hmm. But the first 4 years were pretty rough, and the last four years, these past 4 years have been more of the upward scale. So I've been paying attention to health, physical strength, just working on just getting better, you know. So it's been a long road, but going good.
That's amazing. So yeah. I mean, there's a lot of questions I could ask, but I want to make sure that you guys get to talk about things that you're interested in talking about. Like I said, I could get you started, but please go ahead. Feel free to jump in. And you said something very interesting, Joe. That's a neat place to start from. I'll just throw it out there. You said the elephant in the room, and he's big. What does that mean?
I like to call it the disconnect. That's like a term I always go back to, because there's like so much. Energy going around in the world, and you get out there and you see everybody and you pass by so many cars a day and have so many conversations, but like sometimes like actual like quality of time is hard to come by, and I found it and really like creating stuff or getting out in the woods or getting away from screen time, and it's a huge topic. Like you said, there's only so much to kind of talk about, like time to talk about stuff, but the elephant in the room to me is like when you're doing a transaction with another human being, whatever it is, whether it's just purchasing something or you're at a doctor's office and you're doing something and you don't get any eye contact from them, you know.
Oh.
Yeah,
like we're kind of have all these abilities, but like the ability to, we've kind of like maybe.
I just moved the monitor so I could look at you.
Yeah, that's cool. We kind of like, I don't know if we're like losing a little humanity or what it is, but it's just like, I find often having like down to earth or quality conversations about important stuff with people, but then you get out of that and you get back into like the mix or the gerbil wheel or whatever's going on.
Yeah.
And it's all just back to chaos.
The to-do list.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like a lot of people are, like you said, disconnected. Like you'll say hi to someone and they won't really tell you how they're feeling. They'll just say, oh, good. You know, it's just like a thing that everyone says. It's
yes.
not like how they really feel. Like, oh, well, I don't really feel too well today because of this happened. Which in reality, if you do say that, it'll make you feel better if you tell someone that. And
yeah.
You know, so, yeah, that's definitely.
People have forgotten how to communicate.
Yeah, especially with the social media platform and stuff. It's been, yeah, a little bit crazy with that. I think just humans need to relearn this new form of communication.
Yeah, called personal contact.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it's a funny thing about social media because social media gives you a level of anonymity and it gives you the ability to show an idealized version of yourself.
Yep.
And you can present all these things and you don't actually really know what's going on with somebody.
Yep.
And there's a lot of hurt that happens on social media.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hurt going on in general. And it's hard to be vulnerable because I think we've almost got this atmosphere, and I'm being general. I just want to say that, but
yep.
I'm not trying to be, you know, this is everything and this is everybody, but I just have noticed there's like overall like a anxiety around opening up or being vulnerable. And
yes.
that actually can empower you and others when you do that. And
there's
it took me a long
attitude.
Time.
There's an attitude that people see being vulnerable as weakness.
Yeah, but that's the thing is people don't realize that if you do express your vulnerabilities, then it actually makes you stronger because you can work on those vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
And it also deepens connection.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So we have a political atmosphere right now where it's coming from the top down that we have incredible divisiveness. So, and you have the country, one side being pitted against the other. And I think in the end, that's good for nobody. And I don't know that anybody really wants that, regardless of where you come from on the political spectrum.
Well, I was just talking about the show before, or coming on the show, about how America was originally constructed, or it was originally built for multiple people to connect, you know, multiple cultures to come in, everyone to work together and not divide, you know, so.
Yeah, to unite is great in any way.
Unite, exactly. United States.
I care so much about politics, I pay like very little attention to it. That's how I put it. Because it's like, I just sense this division as soon as you kind of engage. And it's like, well, we need to, these are my views, but we need to have as much of a sense of community as we can. And as soon as you step into that kind of realm or that energy, it's like, well, what side are you on? And like, I don't really want to have a side, you know?
Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't want to be on a certain side. I think everyone should just get along and learn how to work together.
Yeah, it's a frightening thing because, that's my perspective as well. I mean, as a naturopathic physician, one of the things I strive to do is welcome everybody into my practice. And I don't care what your political belief is or what your religious belief is, if you're able-bodied or not able-bodied or whatever you got, bring it on. And, you know, if you're a fundamentalist Christian, if you're pagan, if you're if my responsibility is to help you to be in a safe space where you can do your healing. And I would like America and the world. I mean, it sounds like pretty, you know, it's almost idealistic, but I would really like America and the world to be that way. And I just really can't believe that, we're divided red versus blue.
Yeah.
And so if you're red versus blue, we want a lot of the same things. People want to be able to be with people they care about. They want to have enough money to pay their bills. They want to have leisure time. They want to have community and connection. And everybody really wants that. And when you pit people against each other in competition and anger, it's not healthy for anyone. And really scary, awful things can happen as a result of that.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, we're living on a sphere, so picking sides does not really make a whole lot of sense.
That's brilliant. That's really profound.
Yeah, where did you hear that? Did you make that up?
That's on one of my little rant things.
We live on a sphere, and spheres Right, because if it's in a perfect sphere, to get from here to there, the arc is always the same.
Yeah, that's genius right there.
It is.
There are no edges.
Yeah.
No.
Right. There's no corners.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You could look at it and say, well, oh, it's, you know, thinking everybody is going to get along. Is this, like you said, idealistic and not realistic? But
Joe, you knew the Earth was flat, right?
Well, I forgot that.
It looks flat if you don't look around.
I know. That's what Christopher Columbus sure thought.
Yeah.
Unless, I don't even know if that's really true, if he even thought that. Who knows with the history that they wrote.
Yeah, we don't actually know.
He wasn't even the first one to come to America from that region, so.
No.
Definitely not.
Yeah, there's a lot of lot of funny things that even First Nation people came from other places, and there were First Nation people or people who are Aboriginal people who came from other places.
Yeah.
Way, way before us.
George Washington wasn't our first president either. There's a few before him, so.
Presidents?
Yes.
Okay, explain.
I don't know all the information, so I don't want to be wrong, but I just leave it at that. I know that George Washington was not our first president.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, we need some intel on that. So I'd like you to I'd like you to go back and back that up, and I'm going to report on that.
Okay.
Because that's a very interesting and provocative statement.
Yeah, I know that if you were, any search engine, if anyone were to go on the internet and look at a search engine, they could find out the information, though. I forgot exactly.
You want it, Ron, over there? Ron's on it.
I'm working on it.
He's working on it. He's going to do the old search engine thing. So, gosh, here's an elephant in the room. So the two of you, of course, have one of the things I really want to talk to you guys about is, of course, you have this great podcast, Go Health Yourself. And among the things that you guys talk about, both of you have journeys through mental illness. And mental illness can be kind of a taboo subject. One of the things that you see is that people will shy away from people with mental illness where they wouldn't shy away from somebody with a so-called physical condition like multiple sclerosis or an autoimmune condition or chronic Lyme disease. But if you have mental illness, people, there's sort of a shame and blame that goes along with it. There's a lot of shame around mental illness.
Stigma.
And stigma, yes. And there is... And mental illness is an illness like anything else. It's a condition that if you have it, it's something you have to manage. We all struggle to some extent, unless we have perfect lives, which I don't know anybody who does. We all struggle with it to some extent. But the two of you have struggled to a large degree, to the point where it's really affected your life. So I'd love to hear your perspectives on that.
Yeah. Want me to start first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Pretty much what drove me into depression was the whole accident, and what brought me out of it was exercise and good eating.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. So it was it's a road that you definitely don't want to take yourself. I remember a doctor telling me, you know, you want to have support from family and friends and try to find something to do every day and just take it one step at a time. But I had some heavy depression just because going from being so active to being stuck in a bed, you're like, what the heck is going on?
Because you were really really fit and you did a lot of different sports.
Yeah We're allowed to say that the H word, heck, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. I caught myself there because I tend to swear sometimes on my podcast, but yeah.
That's okay. Not here, public radio.
No, not here.
But you're good.
Yep.
Heck is fine.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So no, it's the last couple of years. It's been really great, though. I've my health has been great. I've just been looking into just all kinds of things pertaining to physical strength, trying to get my endurance up, being in a wheelchair. But yeah, it's been great. So
if you don't mind, just so people can get an idea of what's going on with you, tell us about your accident in as much detail as you feel comfortable telling us. Tell us what your actual physical compromise is.
I'm considered a C5, C6 quadriplegic.
Okay.
So C5, C6 is the level of vertebrae.
Yes.
So we have 33 vertebrae in our spine, and C5 is towards the top.
Yes.
So basically, it goes, the higher the break, the higher the injury on your body. So
sure.
A quadriplegic basically means that you are have all four limbs affected.
Yes.
So I have no movement in my hands.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty much affected from the chest down. So I have a little bit of trunk weakness and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm able to push a manual chair around. And luckily that, that took a while to get from.
So you don't have use of your hands, but you do. At what point does you do have use of your arms? I can see.
Yeah, I do have use of my arms. It's weird because there's just certain muscles that are affected and certain muscles that are not.
Sure.
Like my triceps are more affected than my biceps.
Right.
And but I've my fingers have no dexterity in them, but I do have like wrist movement.
Uh-huh.
So it's tricky. It just takes a while to learn the whole injury too.
Right.
It's like relearning your body, really.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a question for you. So because you have, I see you have a little bit of wrist movement there. I can tell that. But what do you do? I mean, do your fingers get like knotted up to a point where you have to do physical therapy on them or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
I do have to stretch them out because if you don't stretch your muscles out, they'll atrophy. It's called atrophy, and they'll actually shrink.
Sure.
Same with your tendons, like the tendons in your hands.
Yep.
So what I do is I in the morning I'll have to literally flatten my hands out every morning so my fingers don't curl up,
Yeah.
But a lot of quadriplegics, they will flatten their hands out to the point where they'll have their fingers like hang out. But I find that kind of like, I find my fingers would get caught in things. So I find it better to have more of a fist to push.
And makes sense.
I can manipulate pencils. Like I can shove pencils in my hands or pens, and I'm able to paint and write. And I mean, I learned how to do my signature again, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
So yeah.
Nice.
That's what the exercise is helping with. Like the small, I can't think of it offhand, but I'm learning this new technique where you're learning all the small muscles in your arms or strengthening all the very small muscles.
Yeah.
So it's actually called fast twitch muscles, but that's helping a lot with small movements like writing and stuff like that.
So your life is like being born again in a different body.
Exactly.
Wow. Yep.
And it's one thing I'm learning is not to compare yourself to before, because if you try to do that, you're never going to be happy.
Right.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's I look at it as just push forward, and it's just a lesson in life.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
So
tough lesson
to
learn.
Definitely a tough lesson for sure.
Yeah. So of course you have to do physical therapy exercises. Are you also doing any sports or fitness?
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing any sports right now, but I'm just doing basically, I guess you could call it, what would you call wheeling around? Track, because I wheel around my neighborhood and I go to the track every now and then. But I've got a really cool neighborhood where they actually just redid the sidewalks too, so it's all nice and flat. And then I've got a hill that I have to tackle up towards the back of the neighborhood. But it's, I'd say it's about a mile going around through the whole neighborhood, and I do it about three to five times a day. So
that's
trying to get my endurance up there.
You're using a mechanical chair, you're not using a motorized chair, you're using a mechanical chair.
Exactly,
so you're certainly getting some fitness from that. It has to be.
It was,
I can't imagine it's real easy. That's all.
It was driving me crazy, Ron. Like when I first got injured, I was in the a power chair, and you're just pushing a joystick. And I was like, no, I'm going to get myself in a manual chair, a mechanical chair. I like that term right there. Like, I got to get in one and just start to feel the adrenaline and start to, feel the life force, as Joe called it the other day.
So you can actually exercise. You can go out in your neighborhood and you can actually do some endurance and strength work.
And I, two summers ago, I bought a Bowflex and I modified that.
Yeah.
So, they have a bench, and I took the bench away. I have a friend that works at a machine shop. He put some legs on there for me. So I slide in there, lock on, and I can I use the Bowflex too. So
great.
Yeah. That thing works really good. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Cause you look fit.
Yeah,
you do.
No, I'm strong. I'm stronger than I look, for sure.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yep.
Wow.
How much did you weigh prior to the end?
147.
So you were pretty light.
Yeah, and so I weigh about like 128 now, I'd say.
Yeah.
So
that's probably just a muscle mass thing.
Exactly. Yep. Loss of muscle mass because I lost a lot of lats and a lot of pectoral, like the whole chest got affected. But it's funny because the more you work out though, and the more you try to localize the muscles, the more the muscles seem to come back.
Uh-huh.
So
really?
I'm definitely getting return in muscles.
That's really cool.
Yeah, like my triceps are coming back. And yeah.
Well, you're going to get some recruitment, and I'm wondering, because there is such a thing as neuroplasticity, I'm just wondering if you're going to get some return of neurological function.
I don't think a lot of my neurological function was, you mean like thought and stuff like that? Like
not thought. I don't know thought because if you're C6, C5, C6, everything up. I mean,
yeah, works.
From C5, C6,
fine. Just
fine.
As long as you don't get brain damage. So which I don't think I did. I mean, I got a little bit.
I think he did.
Yeah.
He got some brain.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
These are your friends, remember. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what friends are.
Just checking in.
We're always messing around with each other.
So,
yeah.
But I mean, in terms of the places that you're exercising, so say you have C5, C6, the more you exercise,
maybe.
I'm just wondering that if it's going to start to, from the place you're injured, it's going to extend downward from that.
Yeah.
So if you continue to exercise your arms, eventually you may get a little bit of function back beyond your wrists.
Exactly.
Into your hands.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's the whole reason that when people break their neck, that's the whole reason that they lose function, is because the swelling inhibits the nerve growth, and then the scar, and then you get the swelling and you get the scar tissue.
Yes.
And then that's the main reason you don't get the function, is because of the scar tissue.
Well, that's interesting.
The signals can't transfer through the scar tissue.
So do you get good physical therapy? Like, you go see a physical therapist?
I did for the first couple of years, and then I realized that I could do a way better program myself.
Okay. But what I'm thinking is, if you're saying that scar tissue and inflammation is part of your issue, I wonder what would happen if you got myofascial release. If you're saying that there's scar tissue, and I don't know if there's adhesions, or if you got myofascial release.
I've never even heard of that.
Right.
Yeah,
so we should talk about that. So
definitely.
So I'll just throw that out there. I'm just thinking.
Yeah.
Myofascial release is a type of physical medicine. It's, massage therapists generally are trained in it. So not every massage therapist is, but they go in, and so you know that you have fascia covering your muscles, and it's everybody's fascia covering their muscles. Fascia is a combination of fat, fluid, and fibrous tissue. And
okay.
So what you're saying is that part of the deal when you have paralysis is that, and you have injury, is you have scar tissue pressing on the nerves. And then the other thing is you have immobile muscles that are having trouble moving.
Yep.
That was redundant. And so when they're sitting still like that, I'm going to be redundant again. They're held in place. So the fascia just sits there and covers them up and gets kind of stuck. I mean, even me, who I'm not a quadriplegic, but I am, in some ways an average, everyday American. I got the phone, I got the computer, and I also have the bicycle. So
yeah.
This is me. This is my world right here. So,
always,
of course,
yep.
Right. So for me to undo my myofascial release, I need to stretch backwards. I can get some fascia that gets stuck, gets me stuck in this position. And you getting stuck in positions is totally a thing.
Yeah.
So you're going to have myofascial issues just like anybody else. But for you, I wonder if you could increase movement and function if somebody got in. So myofascial release is where somebody goes in and they do pressure and special massage over the lengths of the muscles and the tendons and the fascia, and helps to break up some of that stuck fascia.
That's so interesting.
That might be a thing for you. I'm just thinking out loud here.
Yeah, I've never heard that. There's so many different things that I learn like every day,
right,
with this injury too. Like, yeah, it's
like myofascial release. The other thing would be acupuncture.
Yeah. Oh, I have a friend that plans on doing that.
Okay.
Actually, acupuncture with electrostimulation. So that should be that should be interesting.
So one of the things that I do. I mean, and I have no. I can't even pretend to know what your journey is like. It would really freak me out if I went through what you went through. So peace to you and blessings on you and all that kind of stuff.
Thank you.
One of the things that I do, and like I said, this is not anywhere near in comparison to what you've experienced. When I get a condition, I have a condition right now. See, this is my knee being taped.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, I got I tweaked my knee. I got a sprained strain and a little bursitis and this and that.
Okay.
So this is beautiful KT tape that I'm working on with it. And I'm going to have both chiropractic and acupuncture today, which is exciting. So one of the things that I do is once I finish being upset about the condition I'm having, I go, all right, I have this condition. Now what am I going to do? So I take it as an opportunity to figure out as a learning experience, what am I going to do about this and how is it going to work for me? And I have to, it's a way for me to get inside the condition because yeah. I'm in the business of helping people with conditions. So if I have the condition, I can have a direct experience of it. And then I figure out what works, what doesn't work. So you have a great opportunity. If you have a positive spirit,
yeah.
you have a great opportunity to get inside this condition and see what works for it and make some judgments about it and try it. Anything and everything, you know?
Yeah, and the main yeah. reason is I would just like to help other people that have a similar
right.
situation that can anyway help them, you know?
Because you already, I'm looking at you and you look peaceful. I mean,
yeah.
and you also look like your circulation is good.
Yeah.
So for two reasons,
good.
Probably because you're moving this mechanical chair around.
Yep.
And the other thing is because you're eating good. Because
yep.
you don't get good you don't get good color unless you eat colorful fruits and vegetables.
Yep.
People don't realize that you yeah. get that people who don't eat enough produce look pasty.
Yeah.
in Fran's world, you know, she looks at color, she looks at skin texture, she looks at all these different things, which is to me is a little strange. But and it was real
yeah,
strange when I first met her that she was looking at my skin and telling me what was wrong with me from looking at that. But she can evaluate like you do. You look like really like fresh and
yeah.
alive.
That's
I'm
good.
Say
that
alive
does, yeah,
is the word.
That makes me feel better. Definitely. Yeah.
You kind of look like you've been to the beach.
Yeah. Well, I definitely been out in the sun a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I am, too. I'm really into details, though. Really into details. One thing, if anyone has a spinal cord injury, stretching. Stretching is important, very important.
Oh, yeah.
Like super important.
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of like yoga type things that are applicable in this?
I could get into yoga, but I usually just do in the morning. I'll do my own little stretching routine.
Sure.
Kind of stretch my hips out on my knees and bring my knees up to my chest and stretch my arms out and all that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be the other thing I wonder if would be helpful for you. Is remember we met Stacy Simpson at Farm to Fork Fondo?
Yes.
Yep. She does that Thai massage.
Mm-hmm.
Thai massage.
So Thai massage is basically, it's Thai, but the person's basically doing yoga on your body.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're doing yoga poses and pushing your body and moving you in all sorts
after
of
After the show,
directions.
I have to get all these names and terms from
yeah.
you because I'm learning all kinds of stuff today.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love knowledge is my like number
it's
one.
It's very interesting.
Thing. Yeah.
And
yeah.
we're in a great area here, too. There's a lot of people available to you around here, too.
Yeah.
So
it's a lot of resources. It's
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
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 It's a very healing community. So, the two of you, absolutely, you've been through a lot of stuff, and I want to turn to you, Joe, and get you talking, because you've been through a lot of stuff, and you've been, I've seen you go up and down, I've seen you go through medicine and not medicine, and you have your opinions. So please, tell us more about your journey.
Well, first off, I'm not a big fan of like the I concept, like the ego, like talking about myself. But
okay.
I know that my story will help. It helps me to tell it for sure.
Yes.
And then also like other people to maybe relate a little or
yeah.
bounce in their
so
own. So
talk, yeah, in whatever terms you would like to discuss. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I pretty much am a pretty healthy individual. Everybody asks how old you are. I tell them I'm 12. I'm actually 33.
Sweet.
But early on, like I think somewhere around the age of 8 or 9, like my parents divorced, and I got this kind of thing about that in me where I was just, you know, shook up. And then I would always be doing stuff. And it started with bicycles. I really got into bicycles. And I liked tinkering with bicycles, Ron's all for that. And and then it evolved. And it turned into, you know, the gearhead spectrum of pretty much all the things, all the motorized things. And always being busy. And I was always intense and on the move and on the search and doing a lot. Very high, like... a lot of high functioning, I guess, and I wound up basically having like these I guess you'd call them like, I would have these almost like depressions that I couldn't really explain. I'm not up to the mic close and I should be a little better. But I was just, I would deal with these feelings and emotions. They're intense and I didn't really want to deal with them. So I just keep on doing my thing, you know, working on stuff and building things and creating mechanical stuff. And over time, they kind of progressed. And I didn't really, like, take away any of their power by talking about them. I would just ignore them. And then ultimately, like, I just created this whole, it just kept amplifying my lifestyle. And I created this, like, chaotic, like, intense, always on the go, no time for rest. Like so much, I call it like the gerbil wheel. That's my little term for it.
Yeah.
And spinning that thing like at max RPM. And I basically brought myself to failure. I couldn't keep up. I had a home and I had a nice social circle and a girlfriend and all these outlets and a job I worked my butt off for. And all these projects, and I just wasn't really focusing inward. It was always about like material possessions or, you know, what's going on next, but never like, I don't think I meditated once in like 30 years. I don't think I sat down and like, I somehow slept halfway decent. I don't know if I was resting but that well, but ultimately I collapsed, and I was about, I think, my late 20s, and I had like a total mental breakdown. And it was kind of out of nowhere, but I did sense a little bit of anxiety building up to it, like routine anxiety and some paranoia and some other stuff and depression. And I know all that stuff ties in. I was just becoming more and more unwell. And I just am like an intense person and a hard worker. So I didn't really know about, well, maybe you should reevaluate or go see somebody. I didn't know about that. I just kept pushing. And pushing and pushing. And I just pushed myself to failure. So I ultimately had like a total meltdown. And I wound up in a mental hospital. And I was put on all types of medications. And it's not like my first choice of something to go onto for aid. But and maybe at that point, that's what I needed. I don't really know. I got out of that, and it was tough. But then I actually, 2 years later, I had another one. So it was like, it just wasn't ending. It was almost like I was kind of stuck. I'm like, you know, what's going on here? I'm not sure how to get better. I thought I was working hard and doing the right things, and I was really, you know, I looked happy from the outside if you looked at my Instagram. You know what I mean? Like I looked like a...
Everybody's Instagram makes them look happy.
Yeah.
So. Unless they're the kind of people who... post their pain, and people do that too,
which is awesome. And in to some aspects, I think I just was just totally looking outward for answers. And I think I've kind of had to evolve a little in the sense of looking a little more inward and connecting with what's going in my body for supplements, for nutrition, and allowing myself unstructured time that has no plan. Like whatever happens today is cool. Like whether it's biking or hiking or,
or
you know, north or south or east or west, like just do stuff.
Yeah.
Or maybe even go in a hammock or a walk, some basic things, pet the cat, play with, you know, some music. But I was a totally functioning, and I am now, but I was a functioning person in our world, and I was making a great living and had a home and a ton of friends, and inside I was suffering and I didn't want to talk about it. And one thing that really triggered my breakdown as well was some death in the family. Robin Williams.
And that affected a lot of people.
A lot of people.
It hit me real hard.
Sure.
Yeah.
I thought he was like an idol, really.
He was so happy, and he was brilliant. He was a genius.
It was his outer appearance was that way, though, but inside he was suffering. So I can see the relation here. I can totally see it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was having a good old time. If people were to say, oh, you know, how's this guy doing? They would say, oh, he's doing well. He's got all the stuff, all the things. and he's happy, but it wasn't true.
Right.
So if you're feeling that way, I don't know. I know we have a finite time period here, but I think the only thing I could express to you is reach out and say something, even if it's just acknowledging it internally and being like, this isn't working. Like,
right.
This is not working. And I don't know where to start, but that is a start.
Yeah.
Acknowledging that
yes, it
it's
is.
Not working.
Right. And when you verbalize it to someone, you're also accepting it yourself at the same time. So you're starting to understand a little bit more about yourself as you're telling other people about it too. So it really helps you become a little more self-aware at the same time, doesn't it?
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah. Wow, scary stuff.
Yeah. It's been 2 or 3 years since my last break, like a psychotic break, and to be where I needed to be in a floor one, a mental health facility.
Yeah.
And I've been accepting incremental progress, like the tortoise and the hare thing.
Sure.
For the first time in my life since I really kind of hit the rev limiter, I call it, and collapsed because... I lost all my strength. I mean, I was a fit person, and I was blessed, but I lost it all, and I'm regaining it. But it's very little increments.
Yeah.
But it's coming back, and it's not. I don't have one answer to even like write down the equation of how did I fix this.
Right.
It's still a daily struggle.
It's a lot of stuff, and it's as you said, it's incremental, and a good quality to have when you're doing healing work, or even when you're living a life. Is patience.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're healing from anything, whatever you have going on, it's not going to get better tomorrow.
Yeah, patience is a very important aspect in my situation. You really
for sure.
Have to
I can imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, going back to Robin Williams, I heard a really good thing saying. Someone said, don't be quick to judge because you never know what the hardships people are going through.
Right.
Right, right. Yeah.
Sure. And I heard people judging Robin Williams. I had a friend get really angry about Robin Williams. Yeah. How could he? He had the best of everything. If he was feeling bad, why didn't he go to talk to somebody? He could have had the best psychologist, psychiatrist care.
Yeah.
Why didn't he do that? And he had a lot of judgment about it. But, I mean, I've felt, I don't know what, I can't have an immediate experience of what someone else's pain feels like, but I've had emotional pain, and sometimes you can have emotional pain that's so bad you really don't want to live, and it doesn't even matter what wonderful things you have in your life. You're not thinking about the fact that, hey, there's a friend around the corner who would really love to hear from you and could talk you out of this, or you know, you have people in your life who would really be upset if you were gone. You don't think about those things. You just feel the pain. And the brain can do that. Your brain, your body, mind can do that.
Tricks you.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some people have more of a genetic predisposition toward that. And then sometimes it's a combination of genetics and environment for you to get to that place. And figuring out so some of it is you have to have determination to decide that you want to move from that. And sometimes it's like being in the right place at the right time. You get with the right person who can just turn your shoulders and point you in a direction. And then you have the other thing, like you, Joe. I mean, you've been very blessed because you're just kind of a great guy. You've always had lovely people around you.
Well,
and it sounds like, John, you've got the same thing. That you're just like cool dudes.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well Joe and I, we've only known each other for what? I think it's been about maybe 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah.
Not even. Yeah, I met him a few summers ago. We have a mutual friend, Billy Ainsworth. He's a motocross rider. Yeah, he is a motocross rider. But we're both friends with him. And I was over Bill's house one time and I met Joe there. And yeah, we hit it off like instantly. We were all about
divine
order. We're just gearheads. Yeah, divine order, as I call it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, actually, that day, I was discussing divine order to you, which some people call it coincidence, but kind of divine order is kind of like the universe showing little things that you see, like little little hints in life that show you that you're on the right path.
Nice.
That's what I call divine order. Like
that's nice. I mean, instead of coincidence, calling it divine order.
I don't really believe in coincidence.
That's
I think
beautiful.
That it's purposely showing you what's it, when you're on the right path.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, if you, it's like just strange things that'll happen. Like you'll mention something and you'll see someone wearing that t-shirt in this next store you're in or something like that. Just little strange things like that. Just strange connections that are not really, would make a connection originally, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which people call coincidence, but yeah.
Coincidence or wow. Serendipity or
yeah.
Then some people say you have angels and or spirit guides, and they're like,
yeah.
and your
yeah.
angels and spirit guides will point you in the right direction.
Yeah, yep. yeah.
And I always say that I can't do what I do without lots of help.
No doubt.
Yeah,
right. You know, exactly.
I mean, I have wonderful support from the community. I have goddesses for staff, and I mean that both in. You know, that Amy, Andrea, and Mariam, and Ellen, they're mm-hmm. absolute goddesses. but, and also I have a lot of spiritual help as well. So, and I cannot take full credit for what I do, because in order for me to do what I do, I have to be paying attention and I have to receive help and I have to understand I cannot do this by myself.
How long have you been doing your show for?
My show?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, my Radio Naturopath. Well, the Radio Naturopath started just as a call-in guest thing when I was in Newfoundland, and that was in 1996.
Oh wow.
But
yep.
But Radio Naturopath
for a long time. Yeah.
But the actual show that was my show, Radio Naturopath, began at WELI in Hamden. And that was in 1999. So
okay.
So yeah, but I've had my own show pretty much right along since 1999.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been a naturopath, practicing a naturopathic physician now for 22 years, right?
Yeah,
22 years.
It must be interesting seeing the change now, too, where everyone's starting to really want to pay attention to their health.
Yeah. Everyone's
hoping that they're starting to pay attention to their health.
It looks like it. It looks like people are realizing that a lot of our food is not good.
Well, it depends on, again, it depends where you hang out and who you talk to.
Yeah.
And,
it's true.
It's
We're in a closed society here, because if you go down to places like Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana, it is as opposite as it could possibly be from here as far as health and fitness goes.
Yeah.
And so we're in a unique society, because we have a lot of fitness minded people around here, and we have a local food co-op, and we have, you know, people that are definitely paying attention. And I think that's part of being surrounded by a university. Being a university town tends to draw that type of atmosphere.
Yep.
Sure.
But it's, there's places. And then you go to some place like Colorado and you look around and everyone's fit. Everyone gets it. Everyone eats right. And
all about that nature.
Yeah. So there's pockets that it's happening in. But if you take a look at, I mean, Fran has probably more of an idea as far as the obesity numbers in the U.S. and the
there's a very definite correlation between poverty and obesity. When you look at the states that have the highest rates of obesity, they also have very high rates of poverty. So and the highest rates of obesity, they trade around this very southern states, so we're talking Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, and even Texas. And there's reasons. I think one of the large reasons is it's poverty. It's just so much cheaper to buy,
buy processed food.
Preservative food and
fast
food too.
You can go to one of those Golden Arch places and you can get a meal.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's so inexpensive to people. You can't do that. You can't walk into a grocery store and spend that type of money and be able to get that same, you know, and get good quality food.
Yeah. Yeah.
And or even poor quality food. It's crazy how it sucks people in.
We have a big problem because grains, crops like wheat, corn, and soy are subsidized, and produce is seen as a specialty item, and it's not subsidized. And poor quality meat that's not grass-fed, meat that's been fed on corn, you know, and poultry that's been
like
fed on corn.
Factory farms and stuff like that.
And
they're
also
subsidized.
Been injected with all sorts of nasty things.
That's why I stopped eating that kind of meat.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just, you know, but that's a, that's an education thing, and it's an awareness thing. And
yeah.
There's not enough of that either.
No.
You know,
and
the same thing
it,
with exercise and,
yeah.
and fitness. And it's just, you know, start at grade one. That's what
yeah.
I always say. Start at grade one. It's a 12-year program. And when you get through the 12th year, if it continues to go that way, we could change the world.
Yeah.
For sure. Each one teach one.
Right. Exactly.
Each one
like
teach
that.
One.
You got all sorts of great
I know,
stuff.
Good sayings.
I stutter all over the place.
You
well, we really need to be listening to your podcast. That
yeah,
is,
you know,
that's
I've
a good thing.
That's interesting because I pulled that up. I've got it on my screen here. It looks like you're up to 10 episodes now that you guys have been doing.
Yeah, yeah. It's gohealthyourselfpodcast.com, and feel free to listen to it.
I can't wait, actually. You
go
know,
health
I,
yourself. It's so cute.
Go health
yeah.
yourself.
One of
yes,
my friends,
great.
Lindsay, came up with that term.
Good
yeah.
old
well, she's awesome.
A
yeah.
shout out.
She's
to
very
Lindsay.
Sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a brilliant thing. That's
it's,
absolutely
it is
brilliant.
It
yeah.
really is.
That's
it's
great.
And you'll remember it. You
yes,
know?
You will.
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Now that I've met you guys, I want to listen to them all because
yeah.
it's you know you guys have great stories to tell, and I'm sure they're all here.
Yeah, there's definitely some stories in there for sure. The first few episodes were kind of iffy, but they're getting better. They're getting better.
I've been there.
Yeah, I'm working on getting the recording equipment to actually track on. But the last two episodes, I kind of messed up on the recording equipment recording, but that's all right. We're just getting used to it. So.
Right.
Yeah.
You'll
yeah.
Find
yeah.
out.
So I'm sure. How many episodes do you think you've done?
Oh, goodness. You mean, it's been a long time.
Since if you started at 95, thousands maybe?
I don't know if it's thousands, but it's probably it is
yeah.
hundreds. Because the funny thing is, since we've been on iTunes, this is episode 178.
Oh, you're on iTunes, too?
Yes.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
so,
we both are. Yeah.
And so we were on SoundCloud before that, so there are a whole bunch of episodes, and those are just the podcasts. And then for years, I wasn't doing podcasts.
Yep.
And people kept bugging me, is this podcast? And finally, WHUS did a wonderful thing and made it very easy for me to create podcasts.
Yeah. Yep.
So now we're podcasted. But in terms of podcast episodes, there's 178 on iTunes. And then before, there's a whole bunch that I think the SoundCloud account is closed. So there's a bunch of episodes before that. But then, yeah, I've been doing the show for many years, and there's lots of, there's some unrecorded. I'm on just about every week. It's my job.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
You have a lot of episodes. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
And you know it adds up after a while when you have a weekly situation like this. You know,
yes.
they just kind of stack up after a while,
and you meet people because people get a hold of you. So let's make sure that. So we have with us Joe Sereno, and we have I pronounce his name the proper Portuguese way.
You're the only one I know that does it, thanks.
And he doesn't say
that
it that.
Way.
Oh, that's how you pronounce it, Sereno.
Sereno.
Sereno. Joe Sereno.
Yes.
Well, that sounds more Italian though. Joe Sereno.
It does.
It does.
But
it
the
really does.
When you say it's Sereno,
correct.
That when you say when there's an H there, you it's like an ñ in Spanish.
Oh.
So it's Sereno.
Sereno.
Sereno. There's this beautiful, one of my favorite movies in the
world.
You're
going to remember that, aren't you?
Well, one of my most favorite movies in the world is Woman on Top. It's this adorable movie. It's a rom-com, and it stars Penelope Cruz and some cute Brazilian guy. And she plays this Brazilian woman who has a terrible problem with motion sickness. So she always has to be driving the car or driving whatever. It's like she gets motion sick everywhere, even during, you know, the act.
Yeah.
And so her boyfriend's name is Toninho.
Toninho?
Toninho. And it's spelled T-O-N-I-N-H-O. That's
okay.
That's how I learned that. But it's very funny because he cheated on her because he just wanted to be on top for once. And she got mad and she dumped him. And she was a brilliant cook. And she ran off to San Francisco and she got her own TV show cooking and teaching people about the joy of Brazilian cooking.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just
yeah.
a really...
Is it a cheesy movie?
It's wonderful. I love it. It's one of my favorite movies ever. And
yeah.
it would probably be
she
one
likes
of
cheesy movies.
But it would probably also be one of John Murphy's favorite movies because it's got a ton of Brazilian music.
Oh, I'm
in
sure.
It.
I'm
yeah,
sure.
And,
yeah,
and Rita.
Shout out to John and Rita.
Yes. Yeah. So anyway, you guys, so Go Health Yourself. Where can people listen to Go Health Yourself?
We have a website, GoHealthYourselfPodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also go on a SoundCloud.com and just type Go Health Yourself.
So mm-hmm. I think if you're in SoundCloud, you can, if you get the app and stuff, you can subscribe to it. And you can probably subscribe to your show. I think that there's a way to do that.
Yeah, just like on iTunes.
You know, yeah, it's so very, very simple.
Idea.
Yeah, I plan on putting it on iTunes very soon in the future, too.
And when you, okay, so if people wanted to listen to Go Health Yourself, how would you summarize what Go Health Yourself is about?
It's literally about living a healthy lifestyle, overcoming depression, and doing what you love.
That's great.
That's great. Yep. That's awesome.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Keeping it simple.
Yeah.
Nice. Do you guys just do it yourselves? Do you get guests to come in? Do you do anything like that?
I plan on, we definitely plan on having guests.
Yeah.
We've lined a few up, but we're waiting for some equipment, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I just purchased a new microphone, so we got to set that up, link it up with the new audio mixer and everything. I'm just trying
we'll
to learn everything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for having us here.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Yeah, yeah, we appreciate the invite. This is really awesome.
Oh, you guys are
excited
great.
To come
it's
here.
Great to have you here.
It's awesome.
So we have to wrap up Radio Naturopath now, but if you want to hear more from Joe and John today, you can stay tuned because Bicycle Talk is up next, and they're going to be on Bicycle Talk too.
We're gonna make them hang out.
Make them hang out, and they're going to talk about gearhead stuff, which I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
All right, so you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the call-in talk show about health and natural medicine. I'm Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza.
Hey.
You can also email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. And I'd like to once again thank my very special guests, John Norton and Joe Sereno, and you can listen to them on their podcast at Go Health Yourself. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs.